got a special guest with me today on the Gold Turbans with Travis Garrison on the Field of 68 Networks. Got my big brother, Coach Keith Gatlin. Hey, I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to join the podcast.
Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it. Great catching up with you again and looking forward to it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, man. It's last time I think we talked and sat down, man, I think we just won the ACC championship. And I think we came down there for the I'm not sure, but I think we came down there for like me, Coach D Dub. We came down there for the preseason press conference in Carolina, right?
Absolutely, in Greensboro. Yep.
Right. I was trying to remember, man, because I knew we rapped, but I was trying to figure out where. I know it's been a while, man, but
yeah, it's been a minute. We both getting older.
Yes, sir, man. How's everything going with you?
Good, thank God, everything's good. I'm coaching at High Point University, my fourth year, so assistant coach, so it's going well.
Wow, man, because I know, I think when we were talking last, I think you were doing a training down in Carolina, correct?
Yes, I was training and coaching high school, and then I had a really good run at Westland Christian Academy for 9 years, and actually I had a former Terp, Aaron Wiggins, who's an OKC Thunder. He played for me in high school. Theo Pinson went to Carolina, now he's with the Celtics. Harry Giles went to Duke, and Jalen Horde went to Wake Forest. He's with OKC also, so we had a good run for about 9 years, yeah.
Oh man, I ain't even. That's awesome, man. I ain't even know that. Especially with Aaron, I ain't even know that that happened.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. So this is my fourth year at High Point University. I'm assistant coach there. Yep.
Oh man, that's awesome, man. Congrats on that, man. Yeah, I know. When we were talking, I know I was trying to connect with you on some training stuff too. But I know you were down in Carolina. But man, I heard great things about the training. And obviously, you know, being a former player, you know, giving that expertise and then, you know, your experiences helping those players, man. And I mean, the proof is in the pudding, man. You got guys that went on to play high level college basketball, but now playing in the league.
Yeah, I thank God it's great. And, you know, being a former player and with these young guys now, if you don't connect with them, you can't correct them.
Absolutely.
And the days of the coaches telling you, this is my way, or I'm going to take your scholarship. Them days is over, man. You got to really connect with these young men. If not, the transfer portal is full with over 1,600 kids, man.
Man, and I'm saying that, and I'm trying to comprehend it because, you know, when I was there, obviously when you played too, but like when I was playing, we didn't have the transfer portal. We didn't have all this. And every time you turn around, you see guys, I ain't happy here. I'm gone. And they can play right away.
It's a different world now, man. And I don't think I could survive in this time because it's totally different from what we was brought up on. But you have to accept it. And if you don't adapt, you die, man. So I'm a firm believer. If you treat young men right, stay. And you can do everything right, they still going to leave. But you're still going to get the same quality athlete because it's so many choices now, man, with these young men. It's just a different day, man.
Right. And then going back to what you said in regards to meeting them where they at, I mean, even me, I mean, I'm not too far removed, but I'm still removed from the game. You know, I'm older and, you know, obviously a lot of these guys, when I was playing college ball, they was young and early elementary. So it's like you said, meet them halfway. Like you said, it's a different time and era. I know, like you talking about, you can survive, man, there's so much going on now, especially with social media, the mixtapes. I mean, there's so much exposure to the game of basketball at a young age now that you have to find a way to separate yourself from the pack because everybody's kind of doing the same thing. These young guys got trainers at a young age now. You know, it's like you got to really sacrifice and really put yourself in a situation to stand out.
You have to. And I mean, you know talent. You know what you're looking at. And I'm that way myself. I don't like to look at tapes and stuff like that because – everybody can doctor up a mixtape or a highlight tape. I want to see what the kid do when the kid missed a couple shots. The same thing, his body language, right. You know, is he defending? Is he making people better? You know, that's the type of stuff that translates into basketball. Like you played at DeMatha. If a guy averaged 10 points at DeMatha, in the day and even now, he's serious because that's the next level to college.
Right.
And that's what I had at Western Christian Academy, where we played the best of the best and went to the City Palms and all these tournaments. And if a guy getting double figures on that level with the travel and the practice, that could translate to the next level. And I'm saying that to say, you can't be disappointed when they have their entourage or their trainers. You got to listen to their music. You got to get them to buy into what you're selling. You know, my son is 15. I know all the music. My son has got me involved in that. You got to know all of this, man, because they're going to be like old school. You don't know this old school. So, you know, I got to be up on all that, man. I'm telling you.
Hey, absolutely. Like you said, man, meeting them where they at. And then, obviously, man, you know, coming from, because you from New York, right?
I'm from North Carolina, actually. Greenville, yeah.
Oh, wow. So McDonald's on American?
Absolutely, yeah.
Man, so obviously coming out of high school, you obviously been recruited by the best of the best, you know, the best of the best. You down in you from Carolina, you got Duke right there. So what schools were you really looking at, and then why did you choose Maryland?
You know, obviously NC State, Wake, Carolina, and Duke is all here. And for me, being a young guy watching ACC, I've always rocked with Maryland because Buck Williams is from my area, Charles Pittman, John Lucas. So when Maryland, you know, would come on TV, all those guys from Eastern North Carolina rocking in Maryland. And when Maryland brought out those gold uniforms, you know, those black joints, I mean, I was like, oh, man, this is it. And then, and then when I came on my visit, you know, obviously NC State, I'm like, man, I'm feeling NC State. But when I went on my visit to Maryland, a lot of people didn't understand. I live in Greensboro now, but I can get from Eastern North Carolina, Greenville, where I'm from, to College Park in 4.5 hours.
Oh, wow.
From Greensboro to, you know this, Travis, from Greensboro to College Park, it's still 4 hours, 4.5 hours.
Right.
I'm coming to the crib 4 or 5 times to play these teams, and I'm close enough, but really right there in the DMV. It was a no-brainer. And then Buck Williams, Charles Pittman, and John Lucas, older than me, they did the same thing, comes Eastern North Carolina. So, and I give Lefty a lot of credit. He was a master of getting guys who came, you know, before us and after us. He was just like, yo, I'll roll with Eastern North Carolina guys. It was a no-brainer for me.
Right. Yeah, Coach Lefty recruited me. He came late in the game. look, he came late in the game. I already had my five. He called the house. I had my five. And, you know, he calls and he's like, yeah, you know, like basically like, you know who I am, you know? And I was like, yeah, coach, I already got my five. He said, well, did you know who I coach? Like he was giving it all to me, man. Like, man, like, you must not know who I really am. But obviously, you know, I respect him, and he definitely came after me, but he also wished me the best, you know, going to Maryland, said it was a really good school, you know, but obviously he wanted me down there. I think he was at Georgia at the time.
Exactly. Georgia State.
He's at Georgia State at the time. But he wished me the best. But it was funny, like how he came after me, man. It was you know how he is.
Hey, Lefty is the master recruiter. He's an OG now. I mean, he gets it down. He gets down. Yeah.
So how was it, you know, like you said, like I was saying, like coming from Carolina and then coming to College Park. And now you're on campus. What was that experience like, you know, coming from playing high school basketball? Now you're on College Park campus. What was that experience like for you? And what was that transition like? And then obviously when you first met Coach Drizzell.
I think the transformation for me was like easy because I used to like Maryland. A lot of family members to this day still live in Montgomery County, PG County. Mm-hmm. You know, my wife went to Maryland. She's from Baltimore. Oh, wow. So it was just like, it was love for me. But on my visit, I really clicked with Adrian Branch and Lynn Bias. And I looked at them as being like the guys, and Lefty kept selling me like, we need another piece. And you're that big point guard that can find everybody and get us involved. So actually, on my visit, we hooped that night outside at Leonardtown. I don't know if you remember Leonardtown or not. We hooped at Leonardtown to about 1 a.m. And it was just like, I mean, I just felt right at home, and I just felt myself being a part of something special. And as soon as I got there, man, we just clicked and won the ACC championship my freshman year, and everything was love after that, yeah.
Yeah, now I do remember, so I stayed in Washington Hall. Absolutely. And then they said where the court, Limbaugh's, that's where the courts, right, that's where the courts used to be at. The courts weren't out there when I was there, but I heard, man, there was some legendary games going on there, man, in the middle of that quad. And y'all early in the morning,
we used to get it in all the time there because the football guys had a nice little fire they thought was nice. I don't know if you remember a guy named Farrell Edmonds. He was a Pro Bowl tight end, played at Maryland. All three of his boys now are in the NFL, Trey and Terrell are at the Pittsburgh Steelers, and Tremaine is with the Buffalo Bills.
Okay.
And Farrell was like 6'7". Warren Powell's a defensive lineman, about 6'8", and all those guys, and James Miller from PG County, they would always be on campus talking about, let's meet at the quad, our five playing the basketball five. So we used to get it in all the time. So it went down for sure, yeah.
Yeah, I used to, like I said, man, I used to hear legendary stories about games outside in that quad right there, man. So, like you said, you had A.B. and Lynn, man. What was that like playing with them? I spoke to Tony Massenburg.
Absolutely.
And the stories, you know, obviously I was too young to watch it. All I can see is, you know, the game footage that, you know, people can let me see now. But what was it like just playing with those guys, and especially during that time? And because Tony was telling me how it was playing with them Bias, you know, that presence. And then obviously A.B., you know, the Mather guy, and I heard story. I never seen AB play, and like I said, listen to the highlights. But I heard he was. Matter of fact, they just showed. I think they did when they did the a film for Lynn. They showed AB in his day, and I'm like, AB used to do all that, man.
Yo, I'm telling you, man. AB was by far they're one of the most talented guys I ever played with. Adrian was legitimate 6'8", two guard, long, could handle it, could shoot it. And I think me and Adrian talk a lot. If Adrian would have took it real serious in college, AB would have did 15 years in league easy. But it came so easy for him.
Right.
Where it was just like, you know, he was freshman of the year. He would show up and do his thing. But it came so easy for him, man. He was that talented, man. He was so talented. And Lenny was the exact opposite. When I got there, Lenny was a sophomore. Lenny was like still trying to find it out, still trying to find his way. And then he started lifting weights, man, and got that confidence.
Right.
And then the rest was history after he really found his way, man. But as far as talent level, Massenburg was a young guy. I recruited Massenburg. He played 14 to 15 years in the league.
Right.
Couldn't get off the bench with us.
Oh, wow.
That's crazy, right?
Yeah. I definitely always reference back to him playing, had that longevity in the league, you know, being that professional and just coming and doing, playing his role.
Massenburg was like the epitome of a guy that, you know, bought into rim running, rebounding, over the left shoulder jump hook, a physical specimen, took care of his body. Even to this day, he's in tip-top shape. He found his niche, man. He's one of the guys I've always tell my gentlemen that I coach now, and even in high school, find your niche, man, and be a pro in that. And Tony epitomizes that. He was not going to get you 15 to 20. He was not going to, you know, do nothing that he couldn't do, but he got it down low, he dunked it, he shot the jump hook, he blocked shots, rim protect, and always kept himself in tip-top shape.
Right. Absolutely, man. Hey, that's my guy. I just ran into him a couple of days ago because he's commentating. I know he did the Wizards, but he's commentating at the D.C. Go-Go game, and I ran into him, man. That's Big bro, for sure, man. Always show love, man. And, you know, always, you know, even when I was up at Maryland, man, he always, him and Walt would come through and give me advice and try to teach me a thing or two, man. So, you know, I definitely appreciate him, man.
Tony is a great guy. I just talked to him a couple of days ago. And obviously, Walt is my guy. When I was leaving, Walt was coming in. Mm. And I played 10 years in Europe, played in the Euro League. Walt and I played one-on-one every day, man. And that was like love, because I like to think I kind of showed him something, but he really was like that guy, man. And he was like 6'8", crafty, could handle it, could do it. I mean, we battled every day, man. We would lift. We had our routine, man. We would lift, then play knockout or two-on-two. And I really credit a lot of my success, man, to Walt, because, you know, going against a guy like that, man, when I went back to Europe, I was ready to go.
Right. Like you said, 6'8", guard, man, can shoot it, man, can handle it like that. And you talking about back then, before that was even a thing. You know what I mean?
Hey, he could get it done now, I'm telling you.
Right. But, Sue, you was a big guard, too. You was a big guard, too. And then you number three in all-time in assists at Maryland, man. Like, and then I gotta bring this up, because everybody always bring it up when we talk about it in regards to, like, the ACC championship. Like, we won it in 2004. The last team that won it was you guys. So what was that experience like, man? Like, because y'all beat – who did y'all beat in the championship?
We beat Duke in the championship.
Same thing. We beat – obviously, man, our fans had a dislike for Duke. So how was it – what was that experience like doing it in Greensboro? Obviously, North Carolina, where you're from, doing it there where you're from, having your family and your folks there, but also, you know, knocking off Duke in the championship. Was that the first ACC championship that Maryland ever won?
Yes, first one they won, yeah. Yeah, for me, it was love. Coming back home, obviously 3 hours from Greensboro, and I live in Greensboro now, to have my family there and to, you know, and that year, man, the league was, you know, ACC was always the league.
Right.
We beat Duke at Duke my freshman year. Then they came back to Maryland and popped us. And then we got them in the finals, and we beat them in the finals. But, oh, man, to bring that championship to Maryland, and it was like, It was love, and I was at the tournament, my wife and I, when y'all won it. John Gilchrist got down, man. John got down. Ooh, boy, he was on a mission.
hey, we was in the locker room. We was like, man, he come in. He wasn't say no. He was like, man, look, you know what? We're going to let him stay in his own little world right there. and that's exactly what he did, man. He literally zoned out that weekend, like literally zoned out. He come in with his Bible, he sit down, and he just been in his own little world. We didn't say nothing to him, and we just went out there, and it was showtime.
He was on a mission. I don't know if you remember, but you guys used to always stay at Grandover, really nice hotel, and it's two golf courses there. So I played golf a lot in the back. So I played golf a lot. So some fans had called me and said, hey, you know, we at Grandover, blah, blah, blah. And I knew Keith Booth and Michael Adams, so I had breakfast over there with you guys. You guys came in. Obviously, you guys were locked in. And John was, like, locked in then. Yeah. he was locked in at breakfast. I was just like, ooh, me. So, you know. and I was like, oh, man. But to see y'all do it there and to be living in Greensboro, obviously, it was like I played again. It was love because, you know, being down here, you know, everything is Carolina, Duke, State, and Wake, but to see y'all come in and do that, man, it was awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, man, it was definitely a great experience, man. It was fun. I always tell people that's probably like one of the best moments in basketball for me in history, you know what I mean? And even to this day, you know, I talk to people about that weekend. You know, I talk, and it's interesting when you talk to the fans and the boosters and the alumni and get their perspective of it. Because, you know, us as players, We're in it.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah.
Right. So, but then when you hear about what they experienced in the arena around all those Carolina folks, and then just to hear their perspective of how things went down, I mean, it's still sometimes I sit back and I think about that weekend. But like I said, it's two different perspectives. He's looking at it from a player's perspective of like we in the game. But even now, I still can't really comprehend that weekend. You know what I mean? Because it was a lot. You know what I mean? It was a lot that we had to do.
Because you locked in. You locked in. You don't really. You blocking out all the noise. You know, you trying to survive to get to the Sunday. You know,
right. We was trying to get in the tournament. Period. So,
absolutely. Yeah.
We were in there on the bubble. So he was like, man, we got at least win one, and that's when we got Chris Paul's Wake Forest out of there. But we was like, man, we just trying to get in the tournament at this point. But at the same time, we was just more so like, man, let's just go out and have fun. People already kind of counted us out. Let's just go out here and have a good time, and man, and just you know, that's what Coach said. Man, just go out. Have fun, play hard, and let's see what happens.
Lefty was so old school. We would check into the airport Marriott, and if you lost, back on the plane.
Wow.
If you won, you went back to the Marriott and checked back in.
Wow.
So he was old school. So we would literally go to the Friday game, check out of the hotel.
Wow.
And if we won, they held the rooms, you check back in. And if we lost, it's like, hey, time to go back to the airport. We gone. So, you know, it was like you said, you so locked in. You know how it is. You're in the hotel. You get comfortable. You got your bed. You got your routine.
Yeah.
You locked in. You like, yo, I'm kind of feeling this. And then you got to pack back up, then come back in and recheck in again. So that was more stressful than playing the games to us, man.
I already know, man. So what was it like playing for Lefty, man? I never had a chance to play for Coach Giselle. What was that like? Like, was it like a lot of running? And like, was it like what? Because I know with Coach Williams, like we he ain't believe in all that running and all that stuff, man. No. We got out of hand. We forced his hand to make us start doing the early morning runs. But he was more so like 5-on-5 everything. 5-on-5 drills, 5-on-5 pickup, whatever.
No doubt. Lefty was before his time, man. He was similar. We did like a little bit of preseason stuff on the track and weights, but literally after 2 weeks in practice, man, we was ready to hoop because everything was 5-on-5. He put everything in. And we had great senior leadership my freshman year. We won it that year. Hermanville was the captain, and unfortunately, Ben Coleman passed away last year. Ben Coleman, and they was the reason we won it, man. We were so locked in. It was just Lefty, we didn't do a lot of running, man. He was more so of a player coach. Everything was done, like you said, 5-on-5. Everything was competition that way. So literally in 2 weeks, man, we was ready to hoop.
Wow. I mean, y'all had a mob, man. I mean, like look at the line. Y'all had a mob. I can just only imagine what that those practices were like, man. Like, what were the practices like? You said, man, y'all was stacked. Like, man, like, so what were the practices like?
To be honest with you, man, that was like you said, we was hooping 5-on-5. We was hooping, and it was like the practices were so competitive because we had another guy who played with us, Speedy Jones. He was talented. He could jump too. And then obviously Lenny and I had such a great connection with the lobs.
Right.
And Adrian was out running. So when we got we used to do in practice where you could only run if you got a defensive stop.
Right,
if it's a turnover or a missed shot, you could run.
Right.
And if it was a made shot and we scrimmaging and the guys made a shot, we stayed there.
Right.
So guys had to lock up because the only way you can get out and run is when you got a steal or a defensive rebound. So the premium on getting stops when everybody wanted to get out and run was big. So, I mean, it was very competitive, man. And then we took it to the training table and, you know, this squad beat this squad. And then, you know, we took it back to the goal.
Right.
You know, waited to the next day. So it was Lefty really let us hoop. Try to implement some of the same stuff that I do now because I'm not a big guy on going over 2 hours in practice. I like an hour and 45 minutes, hour and 30 minutes at the most. Because, you know, after you get to an hour and 30, the guys is already then tune you out anyway, man.
I already know. And that's how Coach Williams was. He wasn't big on those long practices. We get in, as long as we do what we have to do. Like, I ain't gonna lie, my team, we kind of stressed we kind of stressed him out a little bit. We kind of made him go out of the box and kind of do some things he wasn't normally doing. You know what I mean? We were young, man, and so we definitely took him out of his element, and he had to implement some things to kind of like, you know, get us under control. But you know,
absolutely. Once you know your team, I mean, like even when I was coaching high school with the high level guys. Every Wednesday, I took them to hot yoga. I'm a big yoga guy. Mm. And that was like a practice. And then once they got into it and start seeing how the yoga, you know, help their muscles, help them. I'm real big when I coach, man. I'm real big on rhythm, recoup, and rest. Mm-hmm. That's the three things I live by. Rhythm, recoup, and rest. Because once you get your rhythm down, you know, it's like riding a bike with basketball. Right. Once you get your rhythm. Right. Once you go get your ice baths and you get your stretching and get your stuff, and then you go get your rest, get off your feet, you ready to hoop.
Absolutely.
And you know, I'm a big guy. Hour and 30 minutes, I'm going, and then I keep the guys fresh. They ready to come back the next day, and I'm going to get the best out of them. But you go 2 hours and 2 hours, 30 minutes, man, you lost the dudes. You go get injuries. They upset. They in there. You know, it's a bad mix, man.
Yeah, especially nowadays, man, with the social media and the phones and TV, man, the attention span is not high, you know, so.
That dude's getting paid for name, image, and likeness.
That's right, oh, man. Yeah.
Man, them dudes making more money than we ever thought about making until we got out of college, man.
Absolutely, man. I'm like, man, I'm definitely happy for those guys, man. I think it was long overdue. But yeah, man, yeah, it's definitely different times for sure.
Absolutely, man. You know, you look at like the kid at Duke, man. I think the kid got a $1.4 million deal with trading cards already. The freshman they got. It's like, come on, man. You know, he there for 6 months.
Right? Yeah. Hey, man. That's yeah, man. Cause I think. I know Master P signed. I think he signed his son to like a $2 million deal.
I'm happy for those guys, man, because you know, it's only right. The coach is getting it, man. It's only right. So, you know, it's only right for those young men to express themselves and to get it, man. And, you know, like I said, if you don't adapt with the times, man, you die.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Hey, before we talk some more Terp basketball, let me tell you guys a little bit about our partners over at Bet Rivers Sportsbook. If you haven't signed up with Bet Rivers yet, now's the time because they are offering a $250 match bonus for your first deposit. But what sets them apart that they require just one playthrough to turn your bonus into cash money. With their new Rush Pay instant approval, withdrawing your winnings is safer, more secure, and more reliable. With basketball season tipping off, get in on the action by going to BetRivers.com today or by downloading the BetRivers app. Must be 21 years or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. What was your best moments at Maryland in regards to the best games? I mean, because you was going up against Jordan.
Yep.
You had Kenny Smith, those guys. You had
Mark Price, and Muggsy Bogues, Nick McMillan, Benny Del Negro, John Crotty. I mean, back in the day, man. ACC was so loaded. Clemson was down in the bottom, and they had Horace Grant. Obviously, he had 6 championships with the Bulls, Eldon Campbell with the Lakers. I mean, NC State had so many pros, man. They had Nate McMillan, Spud Webb, Washburn, Shackelford, Benedel Negro, Gugliotta, Chucky Brown. You know, obviously, Carolina had Sam Perkins, Michael Jordan, Joe Wolf, Kenny Smith. I mean, it went on and on. So every night you played against pros, man. Georgia Tech had John Sally, Mark Price, Dwayne Farrell. I mean, it was back in the day, you wanted to try to win your home games and at least break 500 on the road. Then you know you had a good season.
Man, what was I kind of could think and know what you're going to say. What was the best moment, best game that you can recall that you like, man, that's one memory I never forget.
The best game that I don't think I'll forget my freshman year at Cole Fieldhouse, we ranked 5 in the country. Carolina ranked 1. And we playing them, and obviously Michael is, you know, my guy. He's from North Carolina. And Lefty, you know, got the crowd all hyped. And we in the locker room before the game, and Lefty's doing his pregame speech. You know, he's grabbing his crowds. And he's getting all into his speech, and he's like, you know, Lenny, you got Brad Daugherty, you know, blah, 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 blah. Ben, you got Sam Perkins. He go, Adrian, you got Matt Daugherty. Keith, you know, Kenny Smith, keep him east-west. He's really good going downhill. And he paused for like 30 seconds. And he grabs his crouch. He go, guys, this next SOB is the toughest SOB in the country. We don't have nobody can guard this guy. So, you know, nobody said nothing. All of a sudden, Herman Ville goes, I guard him. He go, Herman, Michael Jordan is your man. And that's the game where at the end of the game, Michael did the Rock the Baby.
Oh, wow.
That was in Cole Fieldhouse, the last couple of seconds of the game. And I was just like, oh, snap. That was one of my most, you know, I think most memorable games in Cole Fieldhouse, because Michael got down, but Sam Perkins killed us for like 25, man. He killed us.
Wow.
But Michael did that dunk. And, you know, right. That's been on TV ever since, you know, back in the day. They always show that dunk.
Man, yeah, I seen that. I think, like I said, obviously, you know, they always show that the Michael Jordan highlights or the you know, some Lynn Bias highlights. So back then, them two going head to head. Like I said, I seen some games on tape. Right. Like, you know what I mean, some.
Right.
Who used to get the better of who when they used to go head to head?
I tell people all the time, and you know this, Travis, as being a 4, you were skilled, you could shoot it. Mm. Lenny needed a guard to get the ball to half court. Mm. And once you got it to half court and you call a set and you give it to him, the rest is history. Michael, because he was 6'6", 6'5", could get it off the rebound and go, and he didn't need a guard.
Right.
So
right.
That's the comparison, what I try to tell people. Mm. Michael could facilitate it off the rebound, go do his number, pass it to. Lenny would get the rebound, give it to me, run like a deer. I would throw him a lob, and once he got to half court, it was a wrap.
Right.
So I think Lenny was more dependent on a guard.
Right.
And Michael didn't need a guard because he could get it off the rim and could go with it.
Right.
But they had two totally different games, you know.
Yeah.
Lenny was more of a rip through, King, two dribbles, jump over you, powerful dunker. And right. Michael was like, hands were so big, but he could, you know, change it in the air, you know. Two totally different games. They just came around at the same time. So,
right.
You know, one A1, AB, 1A, 1-2, you know, A2. Yeah. It's the same.
Yeah,
obviously, I'm going to rock with my boy LB, yeah. No doubt.
Right, of course. Absolutely.
I'm going to rock with AB, but. Two totally different games.
Now he just got in the Hall of Fame at Maryland. Obviously, you know, long overdue. What are your thoughts on that? You know, and that whole process. Like I said, I think it was definitely due. I mean, every time you think about Maryland, I mean, you talk about Lynn Bias. So, yeah. what are your thoughts on that? And then how you feel about that?
It's long overdue. I think it should have been done a long time ago, and it's just a sign of the times. If you going about basketball merit and what the man did, you know this. He should have been in the Hall of Fame.
Absolutely.
But with everything happened and all the stuff that happened, I get that side of it too. It had to be politically correct the right time. Man. But if you're going on basketball merit, that's a no-brainer, man. The dude should have been in there as soon as he left campus, man.
Right. Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. Like I said, man, definitely glad it's finally done. You know, it happened. You know, they have a number of documentaries out now. I was over in Ukraine, and we was about to have a meeting of before practice, and they showed it that I think it was the
30 for 30.
They showed it, man. So my guys like, yo, like Maryland, that's you, right? And Zoe was over there. I said, yo, man, that's dope, man. Obviously on ESPN, but you know those guys that didn't know, but they watched it for a little bit. They watched it, man, for a little bit, man. So, man, like I said, man, you got to play with the man. You know, y'all had an awesome team, man. Man, like I said, man, I would have loved to have been at those games in person, man.
it was quite interesting. And I tell kids all the time, and you know this, Travis, and you dealing with young kids, you can be guilty by association.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And unfortunately, I tell my son, I will always be remembered as God at Maryland. I had a great career. I played with one of the best could ever do it. But I never drank the smoke in my life. A lot of gals in our team never drink the smoke. But because the way he lost his life, all of us, the president, the AD, and Lefty, so it's like bittersweet because I meet people for the first time and they just like, yo, what happened in that room? And I've been telling people for 30 years, like, I don't know. I wasn't in there.
Right.
And then when they did the 30 for 30, people called me like, yo, you was telling the truth. I'm like, I have no reason to lie, you know?
Right.
And you know, you've been in campus, especially on Maryland campus, when you got suites and guys go in room A, room B, and you got your girl or you got family members, you ain't worried about what your teammate doing.
Absolutely.
After you didn't see them in class, study hall, practice.
I don't want to see you no more.
I don't want to see you no more. I see you the next day.
right. Absolutely, man. Absolutely. And like you said, you know, obviously, you know, I do a lot of life coaching and speaking too, man. And I use different examples, stuff that I went through, you know, and just making right choices. And like you said, like guilty by association. Like I didn't know, obviously, going to Maryland, you hear stories over. Not me running down the street at the math, you hear stories about the Limbaugh stories, different things. You get on campus, and they tell you this, that, and the third. But, you know, talking to, you know, Ward or talking to Tony and just hearing how you guys were treated just as a whole team, I'm like, yeah, I mean, wow.
Man, I wish that on nobody. I mean, I love the DMV. Maryland was a great place for me. I got my college degree there. I met my wife there. But the way that it was perceived and the way that we actually got treated, I wish that on nobody, dude, because it happened, and he was such an iconic figure
right. That
all these fabrication stories came out. And like we rapping now, you'll see on the news what sources say, the whole Brown team is doing drugs, and I'm looking at you like, Travis, you get down? And you're looking at me like, no.
Right.
And you know, so it's just like, where's all this stuff coming from? But
right. Literally
back in that time, the Bullets now, which is the Wizards, was like, back then, Georgetown was fired with Pat Ewing and all those guys.
Right.
We had it locked down. So the college guys had more juice than the pro guys.
Man.
So it was just like, when that happened, man, it was just like, I was in Hawaii, man, in Maui on vacation years ago, my wife and I, playing some golf. We get dressed, we go to dinner, and this is a true story. I'm walking on the beach, man, a dude stopped me. That's like, hey, man, you Keith Gallen. I said, yeah, how you doing? What happened in that room, dude? And I'm like,
that's crazy.
I can't tell you because I wasn't there. He said, sure, man. Sure, you know what, Dad. That was your guy.
That's crazy.
I know I'm going to live with that until the day I die. But, you know, unfortunately, that's how people think, man, you know. And then when the 30 for 30 came out, it's just like, wow, you guys were, you know, didn't have anything to do with it. It's just like, yo, try to tell you. And I mean, not bitter at all, but Travis, you probably don't know this. Derek Lewis and myself were seniors. NBA, give us a chance. I went to the Milwaukee Bucks, and then I went to Indiana Pacers, and I was told, can't take you, dude. The way things happen at Maryland, bad for the community. Derek go to Chicago Bulls, and they tell Derek, you got high blood pressure. high blood pressure. You got medication for that.
Right.
The man played 15 years in France and had a hell of a career. And I played 10 years in Europe. Now, Massenburg was on that team as a young guy because guilty by association. They got rid of Lefty. They didn't want nothing to do with the players in that era. Massenburg played for G-Dub 15 years in the league.
That's crazy, man. That's crazy, man.
Just you know, I'm all ACC, all-time assist leader, right, you know, and I'm like, I'm hooping.
Right.
And when it comes time to get the bag, like, I can't deal with you. I'm like, I'll take a drug test for you 24 hours a day. My agent said, he'll take a drug test for you 24 hours a day. But
that's crazy, man.
You know, and me and Massenburg talk about it all the time. He plays 1 year for G-Dub. G-Dub is very respected.
Right.
Era comes in, has played 15 years in the league.
Man, is that something? I mean, obviously, you older now. Is that something? I know, you know, stuff, you know, mistakes I've made, or, you know, and but by you weren't even involved. But does that still bother you that your dream, something that you as a kid wish you would have done, like that it was taken away from you just because of you being a part of something?
It used to bother me because I used to watch Muggsy and Kenny Smith and guys I used to go against, and we used to get down against in the league getting paid. And I used to be just like, hold on, man. Like,
yeah.
It's like that.
Yeah.
But God works everything out, man.
And, absolutely.
And God works everything out. And, you know, my mom, rest her soul, was just like, yo, you keep doing it the right way, it'll come back to you tenfold. And that was poetic from her. It was the 100% correct. I hung in there, got my degree, played on a nice level, you know, made some money. But at first it did bother me, but I came to grips with it. Like, you know, you can't control people.
Absolutely.
You can control the controllables. But when I see those guys though, even to this day, no, dude, you was a bad boy. That's only vindication that I needed, man. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, you know, man. It's go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No. It was like you said, man. It's just one of those things, man. You know, like I said, I didn't know the whole thing, the whole story. You know, I never really asked. You know, I kind of just, you know, but just hearing it, man. It's just, you know, it's just.
I mean,
it's just, you know.
Yeah. The thing that. Was the toughest thing for me to really grasp is that, and you know this, Trav, you play, when you leave your coach, he goes with his family, and we go back to South Hill or go back to Route 1, your coach has nothing to do with that.
Right.
You heard the talks from GW, I heard the talks from Lefty. Hey guys, you guys go out, talk to each other, make sure you take care of yourself. You know, don't do X, Y, and Z. We heard those talks 75 million times.
Right.
But to say that man is in Silver Spring, Maryland, as Lefty, knew that Lenny was involved with that, and to say that the players knew he was involved with that was totally false. But the way that this man lost his job, the AD lost his job, the president lost his job, was just like, now you on the witch hunt,
just to
keep the heat off of you, you know?
Right.
And that was the hardest thing to deal with because now I'm a college coach. I leave the young man and it's not going to stop a young man from going out to a college party. It's not going to happen.
Right, absolutely. And trust me, we got banned so many times from going out to the bar. I still was down there.
Yeah, I'm like, it's not going to happen.
Right.
But you can instill in your young man, hey, make sure you patrol everything. Make sure you do X, Y, and Z. But if I get a call, so-and-so got in trouble or whatever, that's on my watch. And
sitting
at home with my family.
Yeah.
And that was the toughest thing for me to really wrap around, to see people lose their jobs and to lose their livelihood. on something that Benny was living, he would tell us, don't do that, bad mistake, you know.
Right.
You know, blah, blah, blah. But unfortunately, he doesn't have that chance to tell us. Yeah. But for everybody to just be like, you got to go, you got to go, you got to go, that was tough for me to deal with as a young man.
Right.
Because I'm thinking as a college student, I'm not thinking as an older man now where, unfortunately, you know, you got kids now, you're thinking like, well, I know it's a domino effect. But when you're young and you're in it, you're like, no, this is wrong, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You don't know because this is the first time you was involved, like you was a part of anything that big. Like you don't know. You're a kid.
And when you're a kid, you're thinking like, you know, I want to respond the right way with business and longevity, it'll be the wrong way. You got to respond by getting your degree, being a good young man, and let the people that said them negative things about you come back and say years and years later, I was wrong. You know, it didn't go down like that. What we were telling you that the whole time, how it went down.
Right.
You know, unfortunately, negative stuff sells, man. Negative stuff sells.
Did it ever affect, like, obviously, like, for example, you know, mistakes I made or poor choices I made, I should say, you know, when I would go overseas, when I was ready to go overseas to play ball, that, you know, they when they do that, they can Google you and they can find out what they need to know. You know, obviously, they didn't have the Google back then. So did that stuff, did that follow you overseas? Like, did they, like, oh, you the guy from Maryland that, did they know anything or no?
They knew that I played Maryland and Lynn Bias was such an iconic figure, lost his life. So I only had one jerk Yugoslavian coach in the EuroLeague when I was in Greece that made it a big deal and was just like, hey, well, you're in that room, whatever. But over my 10 years, I never had any negative appearances with that. Only one guy. And I vowed, if I ever see him again, I'm going to go to his chin, man, because, you know, I mean, you know, you know, I vowed, I told my wife, if I ever see him again, I'm going to step to him, because the way he was, you know how it is in Europe, they want to get you to say something or do something so they can find you the money. You know how it
right.
goes.
Right, absolutely.
If they get you out of pocket, they can find you $25,000, $50,000, so he tried to break me mentally, but he couldn't. But I vowed if I ever saw that dude again, I step to him. I don't care where we are, I step to that dude again.
Because
he went where you shouldn't go by saying stuff like, "Well, you're in that room, or well, you're part of this, or do you do cocaine?" He went somewhere that, you know, as an athlete and a coach, you should never go.
Right. No, absolutely, absolutely, man. Yeah, that's unfortunate, man. I hear some of this. That's messed up. But like now you're in a position now, you're coaching now, and now you're in a position where you can talk to young men and, you know, and share what you learned or what you went through and help them make better choices. I know that's what I do now. That's how I, because I'm passionate about it and I'm emotional about it. So they can really feel that energy, like they listen to you because you've been
absolutely.
There, done it. You know,
that's the most rewarding part of my job is, like you said, to get into a young man's psyche and to get that young man to text you or to call you and say, you know, KG, I made a B on my test, or KG, I'm getting ready to have a child. Can you come to my wedding, or can you do something like that? That really means the world to me, to let you know that you impacted, you know. When Theo Pinson played at Carolina, when he got his degree, he called my wife and said, "Miss Wendy, you know, I got my degree. And, you know, can you guys come to my party?" And that's the, you know, when Aaron Wiggins got drafted, he came up to me and hugged me and said, "Thank you so much, coach." And stuff like that, that means the world, man. That's like priceless to see a young man reach his dreams and to be a part of that, you know. That's the most special thing about my job.
No, absolutely, man. I bet, man. You know, like I say, I definitely love it, and I love that feeling of, you know, that like you said, that reward feeling. I don't ask much. I don't need none. I don't want none. My whole thing is just be successful, stay out of trouble, and basically take my advice and heed. So now they're young men. They hear you, but they don't really hear you. But But at the same time, you, like you said, your the reward is for you to for them to be successful, and you know that's the thank you I want. That's the kind of thank you I want.
Absolutely, that's the most rewarding thing. A lot of times when you don't think they're listening, they right. just have a different way of expressing it and coming back. And you know, because you hoop too, the ones that get to play a lot don't get it at first.
Right.
Because they're so locked in, trying to go get the bag, and they trying to get to where you've been. Right. But the ones who are not playing that much, can go either way, the ones that get it right away.
Right.
Ones that are playing the most, that's getting the accolades, that's getting, you know, the girls on campus and getting yeah. the pub, they gonna listen, but not really listen.
Yeah.
Until they hit a little bump in the road and mm-hmm. they're coming back to you like, yo, man, can I talk to you? Right, like I right. told you, this was coming way before.
exactly. And the kids I talk to now that's in college, you know, before they went to college, you know, we had conversations and yeah, I told them, I talked to the moms, talked to the parents, like, look, this is what they expect. This is what you could possibly go through. Trust me, I've been there, done that. Trust me. Trust me. I'm telling you how it's going to go from A through Z. I'm giving you the whole playbook, but I'm not going to chase you. If you need me, you have my number. Text me, call me, I'm there. Anything you need to talk about, want to talk about, I'm there. I'm not going to chase you. If you know how to get in contact with me, I'm not going because I know that feeling. I was in college. People who call me, want advice. I'm like, I don't want to hear it. I'll talk to you another time. Like, but I remember all those guys that gave me the advice, guys talking to me, me talking to you. I remember those things to this day. You know what I mean? So they listen, but at the same time, I want to do my own thing. And then, like yes, you said, yeah. until you get caught up in a situation, now you're like, dang, they told me. they told me I should have listened.
I used to tell guys all the time, the guy who came in to recruit you is not the same guy you're going to play for when you get on campus.
Facts.
Oh, no, KG, he's cool as a fan. No, you in the dating process.
Facts.
When you get in that first practice or you miss that first class and he got to get in you, you're going to see a whole different side of this dude.
Whole different. Whole different.
Know that before you go in.
Yeah. Don't go. Yeah, absolutely.
You know how absolutely. That is. Everybody's, oh, he's cool as a fan. Yes. Turn that ball over, miss that block out assignment, and cost him a game and see how cool he is.
Whole different person.
Whole different person. Who is this dude? You know?
Exactly. Hey, speaking of before I let you go, the coaching change over at Maryland. What are your thoughts on that? And who do you think, if you don't mind saying, who are your thoughts, like, you wouldn't mind saying take that position or fill that void there? Who wouldn't you mind see do that? Like, who you think that Maryland needs right now to be able to kind of turn things around and be like this? So that was a good choice right there.
This is from the heart, and you are Terp guy too. Nobody can tell the Maryland way but a Maryland guy. It breaks my heart to watch Maryland play, be in the business. There's nobody like a Travis Garrison or a Keith Gatlin or Dwayne Simpkins that's on that staff that can tell them about the Maryland way. Right. When you look at the Michigan States, the Kansas, the Dukes, the Carolinas for years, it's always a guy there that can tell them about the Duke or the Carolina way.
Right.
That's the only thing that I hope Maryland can get right. I can't tell you about the NC State way. I never played there.
Right.
And you in the DMV, what? I'm going to tell you to go to Bentley's or right. stay away from this spot here or to right, go right. to this spot here.
Right. Right.
You can
Absolutely.
Tell them the Maryland way. And that's the thing where I hope and pray that Maryland get right. Because when me and you played, traction was, I'm in the ACC, my family can drive to a game, can get to see me play.
Right.
now they're in the Big Ten, don't have a rival.
Right, right.
That's the thing where they have to get it right. And if you don't know somebody or get a coach that knows the DMV and that knows the AAU guys, you got a problem.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You got a major problem because Duke and Carolina have made a living on guys from the DMV. The whole starting Duke backcourt, Marlboro, Maryland, and from Paul to Six.
Facts. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I mean, it's just like, you know, that's the only thing that I don't know who they get. I wish them the best in getting the best candidate for the job, but I hope and pray that they get somebody that can tell them about the Maryland way, because the kids are going to listen to a guy that's been in their shoes.
Absolutely. I believe that.
That's believe my that. Personal opinion. And I don't know how you feel about that.
Like you said, I mean, I think that to even get the alumni and the boosters back on board, that's they have to do that. You know, like you said, there's no better way than that to make that happen and bring back somebody that they really cared about and loved to basically feel that or be on that bench in some form or fashion. Cause they you know, whether it's like you said, a former player or a person, like you said, that know the Maryland way, that know Maryland and knows the area, especially now that you have to know AAU basketball. You have to have that bridge or that tunnel to the play. But and then now what do a lot of people complain about? A lot of players that's from the DMV, they leave the DMV, go play basketball somewhere else, but they never stay here on home in Maryland.
Absolutely. And that's the thing that if a mother and father are young and they don't know Keith Gatlin or Travis Garrison, I bet you their mother and father know Travis Garrison or Keith Gatlin.
Right.
So you're not getting it from the parents, you're getting it from the grandparents. Oh, I remember when he won the championship of 2004. Oh, he went to DeMatha. Oh, well, you was one of my favorite players back in the day.
Right, right.
It was a long way.
Absolutely.
I talked to Chris Carwell, who I used to train for years. He's at Duke. And that's one of the biggest things that they have lined up with Duke. Coach K always stayed within the family.
Always.
John Shire, Nolan Smith, Chris Carwell, Jeff Capel, Johnny Dawkins, Tommy Amica. You always constantly got somebody telling you about the Duke way.
Right, absolutely.
So it's not coming from Coach K all the time. It's coming from the former players.
Right.
You know, that means a lot when guys say, well, Coach, where can I go get a haircut? Hey, go down here to Route 1. So-and-so is my guy. He'll get you a haircut. Hey, go to this restaurant. They big Turpin fans. Stuff like that means a lot to players when their parents know that their kids are being taken care of.
Absolutely. I believe that, and you know, I definitely hope that, you know, I get it every time. I go to the tailgates and stuff like that, man. They let me have it. It was good. Like, what do you think? You know, they let me have it. But you know, like you said, I know they won another championship. They want to at least get close to it, you know. And I definitely understand it. I look at it from both sides, you know, as a former player, but I also look at it from a fan and that want to see success and see Maryland successful. Especially if you really bleed red, you know, you really bleed red, you really bleed the turf. So, but Coach Gatlin, man, big bro, I appreciate you, man. I appreciate
my
you
taking time. Catching up.
We definitely got to talk more, man. We definitely got to keep in contact more.
Know.
You know, talk about some things I'm working on, man, that I'd love to get your thoughts about. But let's, man, like I said, I appreciate you joining the Go Terps with Travis Garrison on the Field of 68 Networks. Appreciate your time, brother. It was definitely great talking to you. Hey. I ain't talked to you in since 2004. Hey.
It's just like we have a Mr. Beat, man. I'm proud of you, man. Keep doing your thing, man. You're off to a great start and everything you're doing. Much love. If I can help you in any way, please don't hesitate to let me know.
I appreciate that, Cody. Thanks so much, man. Thank you.